We're up to Shmuel Beis, Perek Tes. I'm sponsoring this year as an honor of my the bar mitzvah of my son Gershon. That's going to be this week. I hope that he'll use his potential and his talents and abilities. He should become a big Talmud Chacham and Yirei Shemayim. Got a lot of nachas from him and the rest of the family. Shmuel Beis Perek Tes. We began the story of Mephibosheth and Tziva. David wanted to do chesed with the family of Shaul. He had such a close bond with Yehonasan. Now Shaul and Yehonasan were nifter. He wanted to do a chesed with their family. He found out that Yehonasan had a son, Mephibosheth, who was lame. And we'll see in a moment, first of all, David promised him that he gave him all of the possessions, everything that belonged to Shaul was passed over to Mephibosheth. And he mentioned that Mephibosheth would always eat at the royal table. Mephibosheth had a slave. He had an Eved Kenani by the name of Tziva. And Tziva ran the estate. He was the one in charge of the royal household, it seems from the times of Shaul. I say Yehonasan never served as the ruler. He died at the same time as Shaul HaMelech died. So Tziva was used to running the royal estate, and now that Shaul was nifter, and Yehonasan, his son, was nifter, and it's already up to now the grandson, Mephibosheth, is the leader, but Tziva didn't feel subservient. He felt like he was almost his own boss. In Pasuk Tes, we noticed before whenever David spoke to Mephibosheth, it refers to him by the name David. Vayomer David Mephibosheth, and David said to Mephibosheth, when he spoke to Tziva, he made it very clear. I'm not speaking to you as a friend. This is not a personal notice. This is Vayikra HaMelech, the king called. El Tziva Na'ar Shaul, to Tziva, who is the Na'ar, the lad of Shaul. He's really the Eved, but he viewed himself as the lad. He was a young man in the household. He was the one who was running things. He viewed himself as a Na'ar, not an Eved. But the king called to him, Vayom Reilov, and he said to him, Kol Asher Hayil Shaul, whatever belonged to Shaul, Ulechol Beisu and his whole household, Nasati Leven Adonecha, I have given to the son of your master. Your master was Shaul, and there would have been Yehonah's son. It's now being given over to his son, Mephibosheth. And you're being told you must work the land to plow it, plant it, harvest. Atu you, vanecha, and your sons, vavadecha, and your slaves. It seems that Tziva had his own slaves. Tziva had a whole operation. That's why he felt he was sort of in charge. But no, you have to work for Mephibosheth. You and your whole family and your avodecha, your servants, ve'heveso, and you have to bring in the crops, and you have to bring in the parnasa. You have to make sure things are running properly. V'hoye leven adonecha lechem. The son of your master should have bread. Now that could be understood as the son of Mephibosheth, because Mephibosheth would eat at the royal table, but Mephibosheth had a son, and this son would be supported by Tziva's efforts. Tziva was the slave, and his efforts would support the son of Mephibosheth. Va'acholo, and you'll feed him. U'Mephibosheth ben adunecha, and Mephibosheth, the son of your master, Yochal Tomi Lechem al Shulchani. He will always be eating his food by the royal table. Mephibosheth will eat with me. But you should work that Mephibosheth's son will be taken care of. Another way to learn, Mephoshim learn also, is that when somebody ate by the royal table, he didn't go for the food. Even though I'm sure the food was delicious and it was plentiful, but you didn't go to David HaMelech's table to eat a good meal. Most of the people who ate at David HaMelech's table were wealthy and had their own, and they were prominent and they had their own good food at home. They went to spend time with David. It could be v'hoye leven adonech alechem. The son of your master could be going on mifivoshes. You have to make sure that mifivoshes eats in keeping with the standard, as he's a prominent person. You should have plenty of food in his house, and everything should be taken care of. And then he would come with mifivoshes. Ben adonecha yochal tamid lechem al shulchan. He'll always eat bread by my table, meaning he'll always be part of the royal table. It's like people eat their meal at home and then they can go to a tish later. And he'll come and he'll always be part of, be able to join the royal banquet. But of course, it's not like he has to wait for dinner time in David HaMelech's house. He'll have plenty of food at home and then he can come to eat with me, David said. Ulitziva and Fatziva, there were Chamisha Asar Bonim, 15 sons, Ve'estrim Avonim, and 20 slaves. 15 sons and 20 slaves. And we're going to see in a moment, it's going to seem strange why you needed such a large entourage, such a large group to take care of the needs of Mephibosheth, who we'll see had one son. Vayomer Tziva El HaMelech. Tziva said to the king, K'chol Asher Yitzav Adoni HaMelech Esavdo, like everything that my master, the king, commands his servant, Ken Yasav Decha, whatever you say, I will do. Umefivoshes ochel al shulchani. And it could be Tziva's talking, and he says, Mefivoshes ochel al shulchani, Mefivoshes will be eating at my table, ke'achad mibnei ha-melech, like one of the sons of the king. Meaning, don't worry, I'll give him the royal treatment. He'll be eat on my table like one of the Bnei HaMelech, like one of the princes. I'll treat him well. It could be he's saying, Mephibosheth ochel al shulchani, Mephibosheth is accustomed to eating at my table. Could be he's surprised why David HaMelech is instructing how he should behave and what he should do. I mean, he was part of Shaul's household. He was a faithful slave, perhaps he believed. So he said to David, of course, whatever you command, Ken Yasav Decha Shoah, so I'll do. But Mephibosheth Ochel Al Shulchani, Mephibosheth has always been eating by my table, Ka'achad Mibnei HaMelech. So you don't need to reiterate and to mention how I should take care of him. He's always been eating this way. It could also be these are the words of David. Tziva said, whatever you command, I will do. And David again interjected, Mephibosheth Ochel Al Shulchani. You do everything that you said, but remember, Mephibosheth is expected to be eating by my table, ka'achan mibnei ha-melech, like one of the princes, like one of the sons of the king, and I would like him to eat with me. V'li Mephibosheth ben katan. Mephibosheth had a young son, ushmo Micha, and his name was Micha. V'chol moshav beis tziva, the whole household, all those that were settled, they were part of the household of Tziva, who is the slave, they were all avodim to Mephibosheth. They were all avodim to Mephibosheth. So you might wonder, why do you need so many people to take care of this one child, this one Micha? We must have been a baby, a young boy at the time. You need so many people to take care of Micha, and Mephibosheth is by the king. So the pasuk continues, Mephibosheth Yoshev Yerushalayim. Mephibosheth dwelled in Yerushalayim. First of all, he was a chosh of a person. Ki al shulchan hamelech tamid hu oichel. He was always eating by the king's table. V'hu piseach shtei raglav. And he was lame in both feet. As the Malbim explains, to live in the city, certainly in the capital city, is an expensive proposition. I guess real estate was high. Mephibosheth, first of all, was living in Yerushalayim. So this was a major effort. He might have had fields at a further distance. He needed somebody to take care of the estate, make sure the crops are being tended to and all the work is being done, and financially they're staying solvent. But Mephibosheth wasn't there. He was away in Yerushalayim. And he had to make sure there was a constant supply of income or whatever Mephibosheth needed. He was living in Yerushalayim. First of all, ki al shulchan hamelech tamid hu oichel. He was always eating by the king's table. And it wasn't even an option for him to live in the suburbs, let's say, and every day take a short drive, take a ride into the city to eat by the king. Because Hupisech Shtei Ragov, he was lame in both of his feet. So he had to live and he had to stay right near the king's palace, and therefore there were great expenses involved, and Tziva therefore needed his whole household to take care of the needs of Mephibosheth. Also we see from here the way David HaMelech's table looked. In other words, even though Mephibosheth was handicapped and he was lame in both feet, he was one of the regulars, he was a regular member of David HaMelech's table. The fact that he had this physical infirmity had no bearing. The fact that he was able to spend his time and to be at the royal banquet, and of course it probably took extra effort taking care of him and helping him out, but Mephibosheth from then on was eating with David HaMelech. And this was the chesed that David did, which was totally unnecessary, as we discussed in the previous shiur. The fact that Mephibosheth was a grandson of Shaul. Shaul was after David's life. And the fact that David made the effort to find him and to make him a regular and to do this constant, ongoing chesed. It wasn't a one-time present, but he would always eat by the king's table. That's all we're going to mention for Mephibosheth now. It's something to keep in mind, though, because it's going to come up later in Shmuel Beis. He will appear again. That's Mephibosheth and his slave Tziva. Perek Yud. Vayhi achrei chen, it was afterwards. Vayomos melech b'nei Amon. The king of the children of Amon died. Vayimlo Chonun b'no tachtov, and his son Chonun became the king in his place. David HaMelech had just done a chesed with the living, with Mephibosheth, who was from the household of Shaul. Now David is going to do a chesed with the nifter. And it's a goy. The king of Amon did a favor for David HaMelech, and David is now going to show his gratitude for the king of Amon. As Rashi mentions in the next pasuk, when David was fleeing from Shaul, he brought his father and his mother and his brothers, and he left them with the king of Moab. And he figured they would be safe with Moab. After all, they're the enemies of Shaul HaMelech. They're the enemies of the Jewish king. So they figured they would be safe by the Jewish enemies, by Moab. And Moab killed the family. There was one son who escaped, and he went to the king of Ammon. And this king that we're going to learn about, Nachash, he was the father of Chonun. He took in David HaMelech's brother, and he took care of him. And then therefore, David had this gratitude. And when the king died, David is going to send people to be Menachem Oval to console the son, and to express the appreciation that David had for what the Nifter had done. Dealing with Ammon is actually a difficult task. There's a pasuk in the Torah, in Devarim Perek Beis, pasuk Yutes. When Klal Yisrael was coming to Eretz Yisrael to capture the land, before they came, they were warned, when you get near Ammon, Al Titzurim, don't distress them. And don't provoke them. You have to leave the people of Ammon alone. Now, the Rambam in his Taryag Mitzvos lists the rule. We all know the 613 Mitzvos. The Gemara mentions that in Makos, and the end of Makos. The 613 Mitzvos. The question is, what are the 613? So the Rambam gives a number of rules how you identify what's one of the Taryag Mitzvos. And in his third shoresh, in the third rule, he mentions it has to be a mitzvah that applies for all times. If it's a mitzvah in the Torah, it can't be a temporary one. And he mentions that this mitzvah with Ammon was temporary. On your way to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to pass near Ammon, leave them alone. That doesn't apply in later generations. It's not one of the Taryag mitzvahs. The Ramban argues, and the Ramban says, the Torah says don't start up with Ammon because their territory is their Yerusha. And if that's the idea, that don't start up with Ammon and let them live on their land, that applies for all generations. So the Ramban holds this mitzvah does apply later. And Tosfos and Baba Kama Daf Lamed and Ches also implies that it applied for later generations. So on one hand, there's this idea that don't start up with Amun. There's another pasuk in Devarim Perikhov Gimel, pasuk Zion. It says Lo Sidro Shlomom Vitovasam. When you're dealing with Amun and Moab, you can't seek their peace and what's good for them. Don't inquire for their welfare. Kol Yamecha LaOlam, forever. In other words, you're not supposed to be, because of the Amun and Moab can't marry into Klal Yisrael, and you can't seek their welfare and do good with them. In other words, you just stay away, but you don't do favors for them. Now, Amun was the one that David felt a tremendous Hakara Satov. They had saved his brother when the family was wiped out. And David decided that it would be proper for him to send messengers and to console the new king, Hanun, who is the son of the Nifter. And we find such a concept when it deals with Hakara Satov, certain restrictions are waived. It's understood in the Torah and in Tanakh that when there's a feeling of gratitude, it's expected for somebody to do what would ordinarily be prohibited. In Shoftim, when Klal Yisrael was capturing the land, they came to a city, Beis Sale, and they didn't know how to get to approach the city. And they found someone, and they told him, if you show us the way to the city, you'll be protected. And the seven nations in Eretz Yisrael had to be wiped out. But when he showed them the way to get to the city, they left him alone. And as he was protected. Because it was understood that he did them a favor, they were able to reciprocate. And here, that was in Shoftim Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chav Dalet. So here David decided he's going to do a chesed with the king of Amun. Vayomer David, Esa chesed im Chanun ben Nachash. David said, I want to do a chesed with Chanun, the son of Nachash. Kasher osa aviv imodi chesed. His father did a chesed with me. Vayishlach David lenachamo. So David sent messengers to comfort the king. Biyad avodav, through his servants, he sent these messengers that the servants would convey his wishes, El Aviv, about his father. They were going to send messengers to Chanun about his father. Vayavo avdei David, the servants of David came, Eretz b'nei Amon, to the land of Amon, on their shlichus, on their mission. The simple meaning of the verse is as we explained it. Vayishlach David lenachmo, David sent messages to comfort him, El Aviv, concerning his father. His father had died, as if it would say Al Aviv, about his father. But it's written El Aviv. What David was doing was he was walking this tightrope. He wanted to make it very clear that he's not out to make a treaty with Amon, and he's not looking for a friendship with Chanun the son, because we don't inquire the welfare of Amon. But the messengers are being sent El Aviv, to the father who was Nifter, as if he was Nifter in that country, and was sending messengers, and they'll tell the son, El Aviv, we're addressing our message to the father, that we appreciate what the father, Nachash, did for David. El Aviv. And in Divrei Hayamim, it does mention that the messengers came, they came to Chanun to comfort him. But here the pasuk stresses, Vayvo Avdei David Eretz B'nei Amon. The servants of David came in the land of Amon. As careful as David was, it seems there was a taina that he is still sending messengers to the land of Amon. It's not reckoned as a major offense of David. But it is mentioned. We'll see what happened. That this mission was actually a disaster. It failed. The Radak brings down a Chazal that somebody who comes, b'misha bo aleim b'midas rachamim, when you deal with Amon with this feeling of rachamim and compassion, sof bo lidei bizoyon, it's going to end up as a disgrace. You're only going to lose. You have to know who to show your rachamim to. And David did this, and we'll see what happened. It's going to lead to a war after the disgrace. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I warned you, lo sidro shlomom v'tovosom, you're not supposed to inquire after their peace and after what's good for them. And you did this, and we'll see what happens. The officers of Amon said to their master Chanun, he's not yet called the king. I guess everyone thought of the king as being dead. His son is going to take over, but they didn't know of him yet as king. But Chanun Adonaihem, Chanun their master, Hamachabe David Savicha, do you think David is honoring your father, Beinech, in your eyes? Are you so naive? What, you think David really cares about your father and he appreciates it? Nah! Ki shalach lecha Menachem, he sent you people to console you. I'll tell you David's real motive. Halo bavur chakoras ha'aretz. He wants to explore the city. Chakoras ha'ir. He wants to explore the city. Ula ragla. And to spy it out. Ula hofcha. And then he's going to overturn the city and destroy it. And that's why shalach David es avod aveilecha. David sent his servants to you. David's smarter than you think. He's not doing it for this altruistic motive. And they had proofs why David would have been a spy. Why David's sending spies. Again, he never sent any message in the lifetime of Nachash to say thank you and I appreciate what you did for my family. What you did to my, you saved my brother. He waited till Nachash died and then he sends a messenger. It must be that the real intention is not the appreciation. And they knew that the Torah said, these types of psukim that involve them, the goyim are aware of. And they knew the pasuk that lo sidro shalomam v'tovosam, that Klal Yisrael is not interested in the welfare of Amun. And then even when the messengers came, they didn't say we want to make a treaty. All they said is we want to console you. They didn't say clearly we want to make a treaty or a friendship. They just said that we're here to comfort you. The message was lacking the real care. If they really wanted to be friends, they would have done more. And in the back of their mind, they might have been thinking, what we learned toward the beginning of Shmuel, in Perek Yud Aleph, when Shaul was first becoming king, Nachash HaAmoni came and he camped against Yovesh Gilad. And the people in Yovesh Gilad saw there was a tremendous army opposing them, and they said, let's make a bris, let's make a treaty. And Nachash HaAmoni said, if everybody in this city puts out his right eye, he blinds himself, and it'll be a disgrace for Klal Yisrael, everybody's walking around without their right eye, as a sign that they weren't able to stand up against Amon. If you do that, then we'll make a treaty. That was Nachash HaAmoni. And Shaul went to war and defeated them, and that's what we learned in Perek Yud Aleph. It's the same Nachash. It's the same person that had just passed away. So he did a chesed for David, but it wasn't like Nachash was so pleasant for the Jews. There was a history. So as Avadim said, David is certainly out to overturn the city. Vayikach Chanun esavdei David. So Chanun took the servants of David. Vayigalach eschatzi zekonom. And he shaved off, he cut off half of their beard. Meaning half of the face has a beard, and half of it doesn't. Vayichos esmad vehem. And he cut their clothing off. Bachetzi, till it was half their length. They normally wore long robes down to the ground, and they cut it off by the halfway mark. And a chazal say, ad shiso sehem. It was shorter than a short jacket. It did not cover the rear. It was, and it left them exposed from their back end. And from the front, it left them, he totally sent them off, they looked like a laughing stock, like somebody wearing a shirt, and then that's it. But Yishalchem, he sent them on their way. And you can just picture the scene as they're walking through the cities of Amon, trying to work their way back to Eretz Yisrael. I'm sure everybody came out, and they jeered at them, and they threw garbage at them, and they made fun of them, and they chased them, who knows what. As you have a bunch of people walking down the street looking like this, It was such a disgrace. Madveyem could be, it comes from the word you have by the Kohen. V'lovash ha-Kohen mido vad. He wears mido as his garment. What fits him? Mido. Mido vad. Or it could be madveyem is like the word you have dova. If somebody has a discharge. because it covered the area, the private parts were, it was cut up to that place. Or it was cut so short that's the term used. He cut and he cut their clothing b'chetzi, the halfway mark, and he sent them on their way. Vayagidu David. They told David. The word got out. They told David. Vayishlach likrosam. And David sent messengers to greet them. Ki hayu anashim nichlamim ma'od. The people were very humiliated, as we can imagine. And they were afraid to show up in town. Or they crossed the border. They got into Eretz Yisrael, but they didn't want to be seen by anyone. Vayomer hamelech shivu v'yirecho. So the king said, stay in Yericho. Ad yitzamach zakanchem, until your beard grows back. In other words, it's one thing to put on another pair of clothing, but the beard is going to take time. Wait till your beard grows back. Vishavtem, and then you'll return. There's an interesting radak. There's always the discussion about yes beards and no beards. Should all Yidins, should Jews have a beard? Not. I'll just tell you what the radak says on this pasuk. It's interesting. The Radak said, first of all, he didn't say cut off the rest of the beard. In other words, if half the beard is missing, so cut off everything, and then they'll come back into town clean-shaven. Because the Radak says their practice was they did not cut their beard. Even with scissors. In other words, they left the beard grow long. Except for the mustache. The mustache was trimmed. It shouldn't interfere with their eating, but the beard was left. Unless if somebody was in pain or if he was in mourning, sometimes they cut the beard as a sign of distress. It's a disgrace to have the beard cut off. But they are noyig that way. It is the Jewish practice in these lands, asher anachnu shom, where we live. So you can take however you want to take that message from the Radak. The Radak says it's a disgrace not to have a beard, but he writes already in his times, El Shinogu came be Elo Harotas Ashanachnu Shom. They were noig that way. In the lands where we are, that they cut the beard. Okay. So anyway, so they had their beard and the king said, stay in Yericho until the beard grows back. Now, we don't know exactly what David HaMelech would have done to Amun. Would he have let the case ride? Would he just ignored it? Would he have taken action? We don't know. But Vayiru B'nei Amon, the B'nei Amon understood that whether David would take action or not, but Kiniv Ashu B'David, they were repugnant in the eyes of David. They knew that they incited David's anger, and David was upset. Whether he would do anything about it, we don't know. But certainly, what they did was a very terrible thing, to take the king's messengers and disgrace them like this. Vayishchu b'nei Amon. So immediately b'nei Amon prepared for war. They sent a message. Vayishchu es Aram Beis Rechov. They hired Aram from Beis Rechov as Aram Tzova. And the other Aram, there were different countries that were all settled by the people Aram, different districts. There were Esrim Elef Ragli. And he had 20,000 foot soldiers that he hired to fight for him. Vesmelech Macha and the king of Macha, Elephish, another 1,000 from there. Seems like he got whoever he could. Even that 1,000 was worthy. Even that 1,000 was worthy of mention. The Ish Tov, and Ish Tov could be that's his name, or he was the leader of this place called Tov. Shnei Moser Elephish, he got 12,000 from there. So he altogether had 33,000 men hired to help fight for Amun. Now, David in Perek Ches had defeated Aram. He had defeated Aram Tzova, and then he defeated Aram Damesek. And in Aram Damesek, he placed officers in the different areas of the country. And we see Damesek did not start up. But Aram Tzova, David did not make Nitzivim. He didn't have officers and governors in the different places. And now Aram Tzova is one of these countries that's hired by Amon to fight against Klal Yisrael. Vayishma David. David heard. Vayishlach es Yoav, and he sent Yoav, Beis Kol Hatzava, and the whole army, Hagiboyrim, the mighty men, he sent his strong warriors, to battle. He didn't himself go out to fight. Could be he figured he didn't want to give them the pleasure of knowing that they fought against David himself. We'll see later on David did fight a battle. We'll see shortly later this perek. But initially with Amon, David didn't even go himself. He sent his general Yoav with the army to fight. And it could be also David felt min hashamayim, there was, what David did was wrong. Perhaps sending the messengers to comfort Amon over the death of the king, that was wrong, and min hashamayim, that's why the disgrace came about. And it would be better for Klal Yisrael if David stayed back. When it's dealing with Amon, David made a mistake, and therefore David should not be the one to attack Amon. But he sent Yoav with the army, the Giboyrim, the mighty ones. Vayitzu b'nei Amon. B'nei Amon went out. And by the way, we learned before, when Yoav went to battle, it wasn't like David did nothing. David davened for them. He said, he used to say the kapitel of Tehillim, Yancha Hashem b'yom tzara, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer you on the day of difficulty. And the zechus of David HaMelech, what he was doing, the mishpat and the tztoka that he did in the land, he was the spiritual energy that invigorated Yoav's army. Vayitzu b'nei Amon, the people of Amon went out, Vayarchu melchama Pesach Hashor, and they arranged their battle, they set up to fight Pesach Hashor by the entrance of the city. Baram Tsova, V'Rechov, V'Ishtov, V'Macha, those four different countries, those four different places, Levadim Basoda, they were alone in the field. The mercenaries were in the field, and Amon was in front of their city. Could be Amon thought that they might lose the battle, and therefore they were afraid to go far from their city. They paid another army to fight for them. They paid other soldiers. They themselves were willing to get a little bit involved, and they went Pesach Hashar by the entrance to their city. But they were close enough that if there'd be a defeat, they could run into the city and close the barricade, the gates. And they felt they'd be safe. Could be they were afraid to bring the mercenaries into their city, because maybe they would turn against them. They couldn't trust Aram. They hired them, and Aram will stay in the field fighting David, and if they do a good job, they'll get paid. But they didn't want to have the other soldiers near their city. It could also be that their plan was, as we'll see, that Klal Yisrael ends up being caught in the middle. They have all the armies of Aram in the field, and on the other side there's Amon in front of their city, and Klal Yisrael is caught in the middle. It could also be, one suggestion given is that the other soldiers didn't arrive yet. They were hired, but as soon as David heard that the army was being hired, he sent Yoav, and could be the other soldiers had not yet arrived. Could be they were at a distance from the city, which we'll see in a moment. If they were in a distance from the city, where it seems to imply that in the pasuk. So the people of Amon went out and they arranged a battle, Pesach Hashor, by the gates of the city. And Aram Tsova, Rechov, Ishtov, and Macha were alone in the field. Vayar Yoav, Yoav saw ki hoisa ilov pnei amolchama. The face of the battle was toward him, miponim umeyocha, from the front and from the back. Vayivchar mikol b'chura Yisrael. He chose from all of the chosen of Klal Yisrael. Vayaroch likras Aram, and he arranged his troops to fight Aram. It seems like the major battle was against Aram, was against the hired soldiers in the field. Amon themselves were afraid. As soon as they realized they had problems with David, they hired a foreign army. And they themselves were standing by the city, they weren't so strong. The main problem was Aram. So Yoav, as the commander-in-chief, or the major general under David, Yoav took the best soldiers to fight Aram. Ve'yis Aram, and the remainder of the army, Nosan Biad Avshai Ochiv, he gave to his brother Avshai, who's also called Avishai elsewhere, he gave the rest of the soldiers to Avshai, Vayaroch, and Avshai arranged his troops, Likras B'nei Amon, to fight against Amon. Vayomer, and Yoav said, in Techzak Aram, if Aram overpowers them, they're strong, me many, they overpower me. Vayisa li Lishua, you will be the one to save me. V'im b'nei Amon yechezku mimcha. And if the b'nei Amon who are in front of their city, if they overcome you, v'halachti, I will go l'hoshia loch to save you. V'halachti, I will go. It could be, as we mentioned, could be the people in the field were at a distance from the city. They weren't nearby. And what Yoav told Avshai is, take your troops and face the city, because we don't know if Amon might leave the security of their field and plan a surprise attack from the rear. So Avshai had a group of soldiers facing Amon. And Yoav said, if I'm not able to defeat Aram, you should join me. Turn and help me out. After this battle, he told Avshai, that'll be your turn. We'll go toward the city, and you'll fight against Amon. And you'll be able to do it alone with your men. And if not, v'halachti, I will go. I'll be close enough. I can go, lo shi'aloch, to save you when you have your battle. I'll take care of this battle, and you have the next battle. Of course, one alternative is left out. What happens if it's a simultaneous attack, and Amon is overpowering Avishai, and at the same time, Aram is overpowering Yoav? Right? That alternative isn't mentioned. So the pasuk continues, Chazak, you should strengthen yourself. That's what he said to Avshai. Strengthen yourself. V'nis Chazak, and my troops will strengthen ourselves. Da'ar Amenu, and remember, you're fighting for our people. You're fighting for Klal Yisrael. And you have to remember two things. You're fighting for Klal Yisrael. You have to be, know who you're fighting for, your fellow Klal Yisrael. And Uva'ad Ari Elokeinu. And you're fighting for the cities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning you have to realize that the Ruchni is the spiritual level. These are the cities of all the people who are Oved Hashem. It's Klal Yisrael. We're Hashem's people. These are the cities of Hashem. The cities in Eretz Yisrael. Inhabited by B'nai Yisrael. We're fighting God's war. We're fighting for Hashem to defend Klal Yisrael. And if you put in your best effort, and I put in my best effort, it should be fine. And if it's not, Vashem Yasa Hatov Be'inov, Hashem will do what's good in his eyes. You see the madrega of the level of Ruchnis, a little glimpse of the way Yoav is when he's going out to battle. He's makabel that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to put in all of our effort, but in the end it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu and it's up to Hashem. And if Klal Yisrael is defeated, we accept it, because Vashem Yasa Tov Be'inov, Hashem will do what's good in his eyes. The Gemara in Brachas on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis says, "Arba Dvarim Tzrichim Chizuk." Four things need chizuk. You have to strengthen yourself. And Rashi says, "Sheyischazek Odom Bohem Tumid." You have to constantly strengthen yourself, bechol kocha, with all of your power. You know, from Rashi, you have to study every word. You know, it's yischazek adam b'hem tumid. It's a constant effort, and Rashi says b'chol kocha, with all of your strength. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the maximum effort and always tumid. The Gemara says, what are the four things? Torah is number one. To learn Torah, and it's difficult, and it's a constant battle, and you have to give it all your strength always. And ma'asim tovim, to do mitzvahs and to do good deeds. It's a lot easier to do nothing and just sit back, but you got to put in the effort. And tefillah, when it comes to davening, as the Gemara says, kavi al Hashem chazak v'yameitz libecha. And after all that, v'kavi al Hashem, daven again. You got to hope. You got to pray. You got to tefillah is a constant. And the fourth thing that the Gemara says is derech eretz. Derech eretz meaning, as Rashi says, if you're a uman, you're a craftsman, and you have a job, you got to put in the effort. And if you're a businessman, a soicher, you got to put in the effort. And over here, if you're in war, it's also. But you see from here the effort. In other words, it's a battle. I guess we shouldn't fool ourselves. When earning a parnas and earning a living, it requires, as Rashi says, sheyischazek adam b'hem tumid b'chol kocho. And also the Mefarshim point out that in certain areas, a person can see if it's just not the time and it's not going, it's not meant to be. If the shah doch koso, a person should be called nidchem ipnei hashah. Sometimes the time hasn't come. A person should let the opportunity go by if it just doesn't seem to be for him. But when it comes to parnosa, and a person again has to know when you apply the rule or not, but it's not easy. If you think parnosa is not easy, that's what it's saying here. And you got to constantly put in that effort. The Mefarshim say, meaning if it doesn't go and you're not matzliach, you're not allowed to give up. You got to constantly put in the effort. And of course, it's all tali b'dei shamayim, but a person's got to constantly put in the effort. And also, they learn that you can't take things for granted. These four things cannot be taken for granted, and it always requires the effort and the exertion. Vayigash Yoav. So that's learned out from this pasuk. Chazak v'nis chazak ba'arameinu. We got to strengthen ourselves. You strengthen yourselves, and we'll strengthen ourselves to fight for Klal Yisrael. When it comes to Derech Eretz, we need this exertion. Vayigash Yoav. Yoav approached the battle. The Amashirima with the people that were with him, La Milchoma Ba'Aram, to do battle with Aram. But Yanusami Panov, and Aram fled. They were victorious. Uvnei Amon Ro Kinos Aram. The people in Amon saw that Aram had fled. By Yanusami Bnei Avishai, and they fled before Avishai. It's Mashma, I don't even know if they put up a battle at all. They saw that Aram fled, and they immediately ran away. They weren't going to fight on their own. Vayavo ha'ir, and it was again, they were right in front of the city, so they ran right into the city. Vayoshav Yoav, Yoav turned back, me'al b'nei Amon, from before the people of Amon, vayovo Yerushalayim, and he came to Yerushalayim. The main point here was not to do battle with Amon. Amon was the one, David, this whole thing started, David wanted to inquire about their welfare. He felt he owed them ha'akaras ha'tov. Nochash had helped them out, Nochash the king of Amon. He wasn't out to defeat Amon. Amon hired Aram, so Yoav defeated the armies of Aram, and once Amon went back to the city, that's it. He left them alone. Vayar Aram, now Aram saw kinigach b'nei Yisrael, that they were struck down, they were defeated before Klal Yisrael, by Yosfu Yochad. And they didn't give up. They gathered again together to decide the course of action, together their armies. They're not giving up. They're going to fight further. Vayishlach Hadar Ezer. Hadar Ezer, who is their king, he sent Vayotzeyas Aram Asher Me'ever Hanor, and he brought out Aram from the other sides of the river Paras, the stam of the Euphrates. He brought Aram from the other side of the river, Vayavo Chelam, and they came to Chelam. That was the name of the city. V'shovach Sar Tzvo Hadar Ezer Lifnehem. Shovach, who was the general of Hadar Ezer's army, was before the troops. Here it is. The Gemara says in Saita, on Daf Membeis, it discusses Klal Yisrael going to war, and it mentions this general here, Shovach. Shovach was the general of Aram. In Divrei Hayomim, he's called Shofach, not with a vase, but with a fey. And the Gemara says both words have a meaning. Could be his real name was Shofach, and he was called Shovach. Shovach. Shovach means a dovecot, where the birds, they make a nest for the doves to raise birds. And the nest is high up. And this person was a giant. He was like a Shovach, like a dove, like a bird's nest, like this dovecot that's high up in the sky. Or it could be his name was Shovach, and he was called Shofach. To pour out, because nobody, the Gemara uses the expression that Shekol HaRoeh Oso, whoever saw him, Nishbach Lefanov Kekiton, was spilled out in front of him like a flask. Some learn that his whole strength and courage was like spilled out and ebbed, it was gone. Any thoughts he had of doing battle, one look at this general, and he gave up. Some learned that the opponents, their blood was spilled out like water, but he was a terribly powerful general as a person, besides the fact he was leading a whole army. In fact, before Klal Yisrael went to war, there was a Mashuach Milchama, a Kohen who was specially anointed to prepare and he was the one who would give the troops there preparation to go into battle. And the Mishnah over there on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph mentions the way he encouraged the troops. And he said as follows, Heim boim b'nitzchono shel basar adam. The enemy is coming with the victory of people. Va'atem boim b'nitzchono shel makom. But you're coming with the victory of Hashem is on your side. Plishtim bo b'nitzchono shel Goliath. The Plishtim came with their Goliath. Umay Yisof, and what happened to him? The Sof Nofal Becherev. He fell by the sword. In other words, David killed him with a slingshot, and then they came in and cut off his head with a sword. He was finished. Venoflimo, and they fell with him. The Plishtim were defeated. B'nei Amon bo v'nitzchono shel Shovach. The B'nei Amon came with the victory of Shovach. And he was from Aram, but he was going to help out Amon. They were relying on this person, Shovach, that we're learning about right here. Maha Yosef, and what was the end? L'sof Nofal Becherev, V'noflu Imo. He fell by the sword, and his army fell with him. V'atem, but you, Klal Yisrael, I'atem Kain, you're not that way. Ki Hashem Elokeichem Ha'olechim Lochem, Hashem is traveling with you, L'hi Lochem Lochem, to do battle for you. V'goymer Zamachne Ha'aron, referring to the fact that the Aron would go into battle with the Klal Yisrael. So this was the Shovach that we're dealing with. Hadar Ezer went and he gathered the troops, the Chelom, with Shovach as the general. Vayugad leDavid. It was told to David. Vayesof es kol Yisrael. And he gathered all of Klal Yisrael. Vayavar es haYarden, and he crossed the Yarden. Again, it seems very, works in beautifully, according to the explanation, that David didn't want to start up with Amon because he felt he was responsible and it was a mistake that he had sent the messengers, so he stayed out of that campaign. Because over here, when David heard about it, he did the whole thing. By Yosef as Kol Yisrael, it seems it was previously he gave Yoav the army with the Giboirim. The mighty ones. He sent the few crack divisions. He sent the best. But now he took everyone. This seems to be an even more difficult battle. It wasn't just that that soldiers were hired from Aram to fight. This was like Aram was fighting their own personal battle with their star general, Shovach, the giant. So David gathered together all of Klal Yisrael. Vayavar es haYarden, and he crossed the Yarden. It's Beloshen Yochid. Of course, the simple meaning is David's the general, so if he crossed the Yarden, he brought everybody with him, but it's referring to it as David crossing. Vayovo Cheloma. And he came to Chelom, which is where the enemy soldiers were. And we don't even know if he utilized all of the army, or only used some of them, and the rest were in reserves. Exactly the details aren't too important. But he had the whole army with him, and he crossed the Yarden. Tzmash Mechelim was on the other side of the Yarden. I know before Hadar Ezer gathered the people Me'ever HaNohar. Nohar, I say, could be, is the Pros, is the Euphrates. Here it actually, but Chelim was on the other side of the Yarden. Vayarchu Aram Likras David. Aram arranged their troops toward David, Vayilochamu Imo, and they fought with him. It seems that Aram was the one who initiated the battle. They were the ones who actually fired the first shot. So Aram started the battle to fight with David. Vayonos Aram ipnei Yisrael. Aram fled from before Klal Yisrael. Vayarog David me Aram. David killed from Aram Shvamios Rechav, 700 chariots, Varboim Elef Paroshim, and 40,000. Paroshim is the riders on horses. Again, this was a larger army than they had sent to help out Amon. Over there it doesn't mention that they were on horses and the chariots. It seems this was a much more formidable force. Vei Shovach Sar Tzvo, and Shovach, his general, Hiko, they struck Vayom Hashem, and he died there. That's of separate mention, as again, Shovach himself was a person, just like Goliath we had when Klal Yisrael was against the Plishtim. It was Goliath by himself terrorized everyone. And this Shovach seems to be in the same category. By Yiru Kol HaMelochim. Now all the kings saw Avdei Hadar Ezer, the servants of Hadar Ezer. In other words, the other kings were subservient. Hadarezer was the king over these minor kings. But all the kings saw, they were all subservient to Hadarezer, Kinig Filipnei Yisrael, that Aram's army was defeated before Klal Yisrael. Vayashlimu es Yisrael, and they made peace with Klal Yisrael, Vayavdum, and then they served Klal Yisrael, they acknowledged that they are slaves to Klal Yisrael. Vayiru Aram, and Aram was afraid, Lo Shia Odes B'nei Amun, to save any more B'nei Amun. That's it. They one time they offered to help out Amon, and they were defeated, and then they gathered their own armies. Aram is now staying out of it. They're not going to help Amon anymore. That's the end of Perek Yud. In Yirtzeh Hashem, next time we will begin the story with David and Bathsheba, which goes on for a number of Perekim, and Perek Yud Aleph. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.